I was cool up until that point. I gotta be honest with you. I was reaching out to friends who went on tour. I mean, I was reaching out to mentors, my family, my son, my wife, and you know, I was crying, talking to God. I'm doing all sorts of stuff, you know, just to try to say, give me the strength to get through this tomorrow. Because I, you know what, Ryan, I built this up, man. This was my moment.
Welcome back to The Grind. I'm your host, Ryan French. I'm this week, and it's very good because it's PGA Championship week. We have Rob LeBritz on. Started working at a club at the age of 19, worked his way up, became a club pro, tried to make it professionally for a while, but settled in as a club pro, but always had the desire to play professionally full-time. He really talks us through the last 15 years when he practiced after he worked was to get onto the Champions Tour. And made it through Q School and won Champions Tour Q School. So just an awesome story. He's very appreciative of where he is. He's playing solidly so far on Champions Tour. So we really just talk about his journey. Before we get into it, just want to thank Good Walk Coffee. GoodWalkCoffee.com. Promo code FIREPIT. Awesome coffee. There's Monday Q Grind that supports me. And they have been just awesome to me. So... GoodWalkCoffee.com, promo code FIREPIT. You get 20% off of everything, so use that. Without further ado, here is Rob LeBritz.
Rob, what is life like on the Champions Tour? Is it as good as you dreamed it would be?
Hey, Ryan, first of all, thanks for having me on. Yes, it is everything I dream. It is amazing. I pinch myself every morning. When I wake up, and I go to work, which is really cool. And, it's pretty cool.
Is it a little weird, Rob, that you are a full blown, like card holder of a Champions Tour and not involved in some aspect this week at like the PGA, either you may closely missed. I mean, you played in it, I believe 8 times. So, is it a little weird to be a full-blown card member of the Champions Tour and not involved in the PGA Championship in some way?
Yeah, to not have I wasn't allowed access to play in the National Club Pro this year, so I don't have access to the PGA now. However, I do if I win the Senior PGA coming up in a couple weeks. So that's my motivation. you gotta find your ways into these tournaments. So that's all you gotta do. String 3 or 4 rounds together.
Before we get into your story, Rob, let's talk a little bit about what this week means to the 20 guys that have got through the Club Pro because you have so much experience with it. I assume there's a mixture, Rob. I assume some of these guys have desire to play professionally outside of the Club Pro ranks. I assume there's some guys who are just going to soak up this week as like an awesome experience and go back to their Club Pro job very satisfied no matter what they shoot. Kind of what was, is that the gamut of what these 20 guys, the groups they kind of fall into?
Yeah, I would say you got buckets of different guys that are doing it for the first time. First timers, you know, you're wide eyed, you're whoa, this is really cool. Obviously you made it. You feel, I had tons of emotion the first major I played in, man, I waited my whole life for that moment, you know? So yeah. And then, you know, what I would do if I had to give them a piece of advice, I would just say, go in there and learn. You know, as a PGA professional, there's not a better chance to go in there and learn. You learn from the best in the world. And, you know, and really respect all the guys out there from the club makers to because they're at the top of their game and you just gotta, it's an awesome experience. So you just gotta go out there and learn. Play with the best players you can. You know, talk to their coaches. Learn, you know, figure it out. What an opportunity, right? So that's it, yeah.
When you went in, Rob, and I mean, a very decorated career that we'll talk about it, but I mean, the fact is you still had a regular daytime job. Were you realistic when you went into the PGA about like, hey, I'm competing against guys who do this every day all the time? Or is there's no way to, I assume blackout is like, hey, I have the week of my life. I can compete.
Yeah. I mean, how do I look at it now? Now that I'm playing all the time, you know, it's the desire that made me want to go in there. I wanted to win. I mean, I thought I could win. And I always went in that desire, but there was a little part of me that knew that was the realistic guy that said, you know, listen, you know, these guys are practicing all day. You know, I'm not practicing all day. So that was the only logical side of me that said, you know, but the desire to win, that was always. I mean, I think every golfer has that, right?
Let's just start at the beginning, Rob. Who introduced you to the game? I mean, how'd you get involved in golf? Your dad, your mom, your...
Yeah, I mean, my dad and mom both did. My dad liked to drink. We lived on a golf course in Connecticut. I found his golf clubs early, and I liked to be out of the house when he was drinking. So literally just used his club, stuck inside, and just made swings and just fell in love with the game and couldn't get enough of it.
I wanted... Yeah. Kind of an escape, Rob. I mean, just you could just, you know, go to the golf course, and that was kind of your escape from you know, like reality at that point as a kid.
Yeah, definitely. It was my I got out there and I fell in love with it. You know, it was 100% my escape, and then I fell in love with it, and I was like, wow, this is really cool how I can make this golf ball fly like this. You know,
was there what immediate desire to, I mean, how did you just transitioned into wanting to be a club pro? Is it just wanting the desire to be involved in the game in any way? Or, you know, was it something you saw a local club pro and you're like, hey, this is what I want to do? Kind of what was the transition into working as a club pro?
Yeah, I had a scholarship to go to Central Connecticut State University and to play golf. And unfortunately, I didn't realize what that was. So I found it way too easy to skip class at golf balls. I probably drank too much beer. I did the wrong things. And, when I dropped out after a semester and a half, my mother said to me, she goes, you know, you want to have something to fall back on. She goes, and I think I found something for you. She did some research. My mom was a great advocate. She was awesome. And she said, there's this thing called the PGA of America. She goes, you can work at a golf club. And she goes, that way, if you ever injure yourself, she goes, honey, you're going to play the tour. Don't worry. I know you are. Right. I'd like all moms do the supportive thing, but here's your backup. So she did that. And then, and I started working at a golf club in 1991, Monarch Country Club down in Palm City, Florida, for a guy by the name of Mike McNeil. And, it was kind of like my fallback. I want to become a PGA member, you know, run a club in case I just kind of got caught up in it, liked it. Still wanted to compete, you know, so I would kind of dip myself into both worlds, became a PGA member. And then, and now I'm, and I always had a desire to get out on one of the tours.
I know that desire stayed with you your whole career, Rob, to play professionally full time, but when did it kind of transition? Do you remember a certain time where you're like, hey, I'm going to, you know, settle into a good job? Or has it always remained a chance to like, hey, I want to get on the PGA Tour or the Korn Ferry member or champions? Was there ever a transition, or you just really always wanted to play?
Yeah. I mean, there was times where I dabbled in it. I mean, there was always these cool things, whereas if you played well, you could get your tour card. Right. So, I mean, you could, you know, you get into, you make a cut in a PGA championship, you go to second stage, you get through second stage, you know, you're in finals, you can get your tour card. And then they took that away. So, you know, all of a sudden I had a good job and they took my direct access to the tour away. So, you know, for me to play the Korn Ferry and kind of grind it out, it just didn't seem feasible. I had a family, a child, you know, all that stuff. It just didn't seem feasible. So I just kind of tried to use those opportunities. But in 2003, when I left the Canadian tour, that's really when I really said to myself, Champions Tour would be a good thing. I mean, I was young, but, you know, I saw my golf career in front of me with what I was doing with the club pro side. You know, I was in both worlds, Ryan. It was kind of crazy. And then deep down desire, just going, man, I want to go out there and win. It was hard, you know.
Was that first couple of years, Rob, when you transitioned into like full-time club pro? I assume that is a tough transition for someone who, like, you want to compete professionally. I mean, I guess the question, was it hard? Like, you know, you're giving lessons, doing the things that a club pro does, and you're like, man, I know I can compete out there.
Yeah. And it's like all these different players now that I've played out here have sort of different, they've all been out here their whole lives. They've figured out how to get the ball in the hole. They're little nuances. They understand their swings a lot more, you know, than I did. than I have been, because I put so much time into other people's games and the club, and you know, which is great, and my family, you know. And then I put a little bit into myself. I put as much as I could.
I mean, obviously you can give lessons and do those kind of things and be satisfied and happy, but there has to be in the back of your mind kind of like this, you know, burning desire to get back out there.
Oh, it was, yeah. I mean, even I find myself now when I go back to the club and I go back on my weeks off and I coach a little bit, deep down internally I'm like, I should be using this time to work on my game, you know? So I, you know, it's this selfish, really selfish thing to get better at the game, which, you know, comes out to you when you have access to like playing at this level, you know, it just does. You know, playing at the club pro level is hard. You can maintain it while you do your job because everybody else is doing that. But then once you get out to this level, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, I played with Mike Weir yesterday. You know, he wasn't given lessons, and
yeah, he doesn't take his week off and go give right. lessons at a club. Yeah,
right. And his game shows it because it's tight, right? So yeah. That's cool. Anyway,
How often do you give lessons, Rob? Now, I mean, you do group lessons, and I mean, go back in every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I never did group lessons. I always did sort of individual stuff, clinics here and there, but you know, mostly individual stuff. You know, if I'm back at the club and one of my members needs some help, yeah, I'll definitely help him or her. And if one of my students, you know, needs some help, it's hard right now. I've turned down a lot of people. Yeah. I've turned a lot of my lessons to my instructors at the club because they're unbelievable and they're better instructors than I am. Trust me. I'm just, you know, it's all good. So that's, we're navigating their golf games as well. I became pretty selfish, Ryan, to be honest. I can't help it.
I understand. It's a selfish game, Rob. It's a selfish game.
Oh man, is it ever, right?
So, I mean, as you were a club pro, do you know how many wins you have in your section?
I don't know. No.
I tried to count them today, but it's too many. Rob has won every – if you go in the Met section, I mean, if you go in the Northeast, there's going to be a trophy with Rob's name on it. State Opens, any major city opens. How many tournament – roughly, Rob? Like, and I'm not talking come on, 200 wins?
I don't know. I don't know. Seriously. I know I tried. My goal was to win one a year.
You've done that.
That's my goal.
Okay. You accomplished that. I mean, leading up to Champions Tour, you won like two state opens and a city open, right?
Yeah. I was getting ready. I mean, I knew, yeah, I was getting ready. I mean, you gotta, when you get ready, you gotta get yourself jazzed up. And as a club pro, I've got to give my hats off to my owners and the members at Glen Arbor, because they've allowed me to, you know, to really, you know, besides I do my job, don't get me wrong, it's not like I'm sitting by the side hitting golf balls while my job's not need to be done, but mm-hmm. You know, for giving me the whereabouts of just believing in me and sticking behind the vision that I had, because I had this vision, and a lot of clubs will squash it, you know, and if you can align yourself with the right club, it'll be a good thing, you know.
Rob, I read that like for 15 years, you kind of had this, like you knew that at 50, I mean, it was kind of a buildup even back then to the age of 50, once you stopped playing full time, you know, before that. What was a normal day, Rob? Like, I mean, you obviously gave lessons and then somehow had to find time to work on your own game.
Yeah, it started early. I start early in the morning and I usually work out early by 6 a.m. or so. And I'll do my hour. By that time it's like 7. My wife's probably waking up. I'll try to have breakfast with the kids, get them on the bus. I'm usually at the club by 8:30. Probably teaching by 9 and have a staff meeting 8:30, whatever. 9 o'clock, you'd give a few lessons for a couple hours, you know, take a break, maybe get in a little practice, eat some lunch, answer some questions, check on your team, you know, say hello to some members, start teaching again. Couple hours, you know, go check in your team again, see if there's anything you can do, maybe attend a staff meeting. By that time it's 4 or 5 o'clock. I'm practicing because all the members have gone home, so I'll practice till dark. And then I go home, my wife would be there. My little one would already be asleep, my 17-month-old. I'd say my daughter and my wife, we'd hang out, she'd always have a meal cooked for me. And you know, we hung out for an hour or so and passed out, rinse, wash, repeat.
Yeah, I mean, 15 years. You said it in your interview that went viral, Rob, is like, that's what, I mean, it's obviously on the professional level, but on the club pro level, that is what you don't see, right? I mean, the wife and kids are the ones that kind of sacrifice in order for you to be in this position.
100,000,000%. I couldn't do it without my wife. No chance. She's my rock star. Shout out to Kara. I love you, baby. Sorry, I got to do it. Shout out to Kara. No problem.
All good.
Love coming at you.
Before we get into the week leading up to the Champions and what that's meant, I don't know if you've had time to read Shane Ryan's article about club pros and the fall off of, okay. So like a number of club pros is kind of dying and, you know, members are difficult. I mean, I know you had a wonderful club, Rob. You don't have to talk about your experience. But the hours and those kind of things is, I mean, guys don't, it used to be, you didn't make it a professional golf, you automatically kind of went into the club pro. And that's just very rarely happens anymore. Why do you think it is, Rob?
Well, I mean, you know, the club, nobody's getting paid. I mean, these young kids are, they're doing this job. They're managing these tournaments, managing these clubs and doing a great job. And they're not getting paid anything. And they go work all the time. I mean, it's like, you know, so you do it for the game. You love your team. You love wherever you work. You love your members. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why you do the job, but it's a service industry job. And it's a, you know, you can carve out whatever you want to carve out, Ryan, you know how it is, right? But if you're miserable in your job, man, go find something that's, but a lot of guys that get into the business aren't miserable because they love the game. Might turn them miserable because they're not playing it because they're working so much. But you know, it's a mixed bag, man. You know, you gotta find your path. And there's guys out there that will help you. You gotta do your due diligence. I promise you. There's guys out there that'll help you.
Yeah. I mean, once you get to like a director of instruction like you, Rob, I assume you take a huge responsibility of doing that to keep guys underneath of you in it, to not get that burnout, all of them.
Well, yeah, I was a director of golf. I wasn't a director of instruction.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I oversaw the whole operation.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a director of instruction at the club.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's even more stuff you got to do. There's more, you know, if you're good at balancing your time, like, you know, you're going to be fine and you just got to kind of go about it that way, I guess. Right.
So let's talk about Q school. I mean, because you have a good job, but you always had this desire to do it, Rob, was there more or less pressure going up into Q school, or is it just the same? Like, were you like, hey, I have a great job to fall back on? Or are you like, hey, I don't want to be the guy who goes to Q school 10 times, you know, like I only have an X amount of times to do this. So is it, what was your kind of internal pressure leading up to Q school?
Yeah. You know, I looked at it as an opportunity, to be honest with you, Ryan. If I got into Q school, I would just kind of try to advance with the time that I had. And for me, it was almost, again, a learning experience of like seeing where my game compared against these guys that were doing it full time. So I always knew that I had that thing, although I didn't rely on it. It's not like, oh, I get to go back to be a club pro. It was kind of like, well, okay, here's your chance to play full time. So, you know, work your tail off and try to do it. So then you go in there and, you know, you're not putting pressure on yourself. Pressure's self-inflicted, but you want to go in there, perform, and you try to find out throughout the years what's going to allow you to perform well. And, you know, I'll take notes of things that I've done in tournaments on my, you know, on this guy all the time, right? I felt this way, this, and I finished here, you know, and you learn from those things. And, you know, if you can do things the same and it works for you, you might be successful. You know,
for people listening, there is no more closed shop in all of golf than the Champions Tour. So to give people some perspective, there's two stages, but there's five cards. It's a hard five cards. There's no ties. They do a playoff. And if you finish sixth, your reward is to skip pre-qualifiers. I mean, it's the hardest tour in the world to get onto, Rob, right? I mean, there's,
you know, I've heard people say that after I qualified. thank God I heard it after, right? Because I didn't want to. But I, you know, the night before my final round, man, I, you know, I was a mess. You know, so I mean, there's a lot. We'll talk about that too if you want. I mean, dude.
Let's talk. I mean, so you get through first stage. Did you kind of like, okay, this is great. I mean, your game was in great shape. You won like five tournaments leading up to it. I assume you're fairly confident, but you have to block out, I assume, Rob. Like, I mean, again, for people listening, the final stage of Champions Q School is literally a who's who of who has won on the PGA Tour. I mean, there is just, you go down the line, you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. So I assume you kind of have to block that out, Rob, and just internalize that you belong out there regardless of who you're playing against.
Yeah. As you see the guys, I mean, it's really not, you know their names obviously because they've been doing it forever. And of course they've won tournaments because they're really experienced, great golfers. Right. But on the other hand, I'm there and I'm played practice rounds with them and I've seen what they have. And I know that what I bring is just as good, if not better. So, I mean, I'm okay with that. I don't mean to say that in a, that's just what happens. The reality of when you go out there and you play, and there's some players that you play. Listen, I played with guys too that I'm like, wow, that guy's better than me. You know, I mean, that's not something. And okay, well, I've got to figure out how to get better then. And that's kind of what drives you. I mean, you know.
I mean, were you very confident leading up to the week of Q School, Rob? I mean, did you believe, I mean, you were like 100% I can get my card here. I mean, I know you have to believe that, but also being honest with yourself that looking back on it, were you like, yes, I'm going to, you know, I'm 100% belong here and going to get my card.
I always knew at 50 for how I prepped myself for the 15 years before and even longer that I gave myself my best chance. Right. So I was in good shape. I worked out every day, you know, I'm strong and all that stuff. So when I played in the senior club pro, I wanted to finish in the top five because that got you right into finals. And I finished sixth and I didn't finish solid. So I was a little ticked, but I looked at it as, and I was really ticked when I left the golf course that day. I mean, I was really ticked. I don't even know if I behaved. I was seeing red, right? It was one of those moments where, you know, maybe I was out of character. I don't know, but I left there and I was upset and I was like, okay, well, now I got to go through four more rounds of this, right? I got to go through first stage now. So, but I was like, all right, well, let's look at this as an opportunity to see what first stage is like. Cause I've never been there. So I was like, what's the talent level? So when I got in and I saw the talent level, I was like, oh my gosh, you can so do this. Right. So then I played well, and I think I shot 15 under and Branshaw nipped me. And then going into final, I knew that sort of prepped me kind of, and I was like, wow, that was great. Four rounds. I just shot 15 under. And I'm going to go into finals. I went to finals with a ton of confidence, right? So.
Yeah. And I mean, you play solid the first 3 days, but you're right around. I mean, never comfortable at Champions Tour School because there's only five cards. So no matter if you're ahead by five but you're right in that number. I mean, let's go back to that night prior, Rob. I mean, you said you were a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of what is that like?
It's like having my thyroid taken out again. I had my thyroid taken out 1 year and I went crazy in the recovery room because it's a whole nother story. You're crying, you're laughing, you're freaking out. I mean, you realize that you're all this work and everything is right up to this point. I mean, at least I did. I was cool up until that point. I gotta be honest with you. I was reaching out to friends who won on tour. I mean, I was reaching out to mentors, my family, my son, my wife, and you know, I was crying, talking to God. I'm doing all sorts of stuff. You know, just to try to say, give me the strength to get through this tomorrow. Cause I, you know what, Ryan, I built this up, man. This was my moment, right? That was my moment right there to get through that thing. And
yes. Yeah. And I think that's what's different from the other players in the field or a lot of other players. There's some in the, you know, never had a tour career and those kind of things, but that's the difference, right, Rob? I mean, that night is like, hey, for 15 years I've built up to this moment. And though other guys, not that they don't want to get through or have the same desire, you know, former tour winners, they do obviously, but like this is like the moment that you have kind of worked all those days on the range is now like right in your hands. And it's, I assume it's impossible to block that out, right? It's not, everyone says, oh, you got to block that out. I mean, that's a bunch of crap. You can't block it out. You know, you're the one who's hitting balls for 15 years at till dark, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's tricks that you learn, you know, throughout the years. I mean, I learned from NeuroPeak Pro. I did my breathing. You know, there's all sorts of things that you can do. There's visualization. I do a ton of visualization. So those things, like, even though I was a mess, you know, those things were kind of like, almost like my route. I was trying to do that night, you know, and just kind of look at myself as you're bawling your eyes out in the mirror. You're like, you know, it's like, wait a minute, just calm yourself down. This is just another tournament. But then when you realize that, you know, you do, and it's like, okay, let's get yourself together. You gather yourself and you just go out there and ultimately have fun. I mean, I literally went out there. My wife said to me before, you know, I went out, she goes, honey, she goes, you always smile at everybody. She goes, you talk to everybody. She goes, that's what you like to do, that. She goes, one time, just keep your head down and don't talk to anybody. And she goes, and you can talk to whoever you want to talk to, but just put a little focus in tomorrow. And I thank her for that, because I did. And I still smiled and winked here and there, but I put my head down, and it was just great advice.
Yeah. Justin Lauer quote that I use all the time that he told me is, you have to be, you're never going to be in that situation comfortable. You have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Is that accurate, Rob?
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Yeah. And I mean, it depends on the uncomfortability. I started out feeling more nervous this season, you know, the first week of the Chubb. And now I just played my seventh event, the Regents Tradition. And, you know, I feel much more comfortable out here. So it's like, you know, you just, as you go through it, it gets better as you learn from it, you know?
I've been lucky enough to caddy a lot more lately. And, you know, as you learn pros, you go on the range and some days you have it, some days you don't have it. Sometimes you got to grind. Going into that final round, what was the range session, Rob? Do you know, like, I'll tell you a caddying story. Like Mark, I caddied for him at the AT&T Preble Beach Pro-Am. First day, normally hits about, you know, 35 balls, 40 balls to get warmed up. He hit like 15 and he handed me the club and said, let's go. And I was just like, whoa, you know, he must have it. And he did have it. So did you know on the range you had it that day, or kind of what was your feeling as you hit the first tee?
Do I know how I had on the range? So I did some mirror work the night before. I just checked my setup in my putting setup and my chipping setup. And I worked in the mirror for like an hour, because I feel for me, that if my setup stays the same, I'll swing the club back the same. My setup changes, then my swing is going to, you know, the club's going to swing back differently because of my setup. So I that's where I start. So I had a good, decent range setup, you know, warm up. I knew which way my ball was going. I felt the miss. I felt it was going left. I felt it was going right. And then I just tried to hit some shots. I tried to hit some big hooks and some big cuts and some, you know, just to kind of know that. And I went out there and I was like, all right, you know, I probably hit the same amount of balls, maybe a few less. I had a lot of friends showing up, all my college roommates. I mean, I had people coming up to me. It was like, wow, this is really cool. And that was, you know, on the other side of that, I felt the love. So when I felt that, I calmed me down. My college roommates and my college team, my Central Connecticut team, you know, semester and a half, yeah, all, you know, came out. It was freaking awesome, you know? And yeah, so I mean, there was a lot of support there, and yeah, it was cool. It's a really, really good moment.
I mean, is that the greatest round of your life, Rob? Considering all that, you know, all of the things that.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to say yes, you know. I guess I would have to say yes, because that's, you know, I won a Golden Bear Tour event the week my dad died. Mm-hmm. So that always has some pretty huge special significance in my life too. It's a special one. So I'd have to say maybe they rank together, but yeah, definitely, you know, top two.
You make the, you finish out on 18. I mean, there has to be an unlimited amount of thoughts, but do you remember like what your first initial thought was? I mean, all of the people who helped you was like, I finally did it. I mean, what was that as the putt hit the hole and you picked it out and you realized you're just one Q school, you're going to be on the Champions Tour. Do you remember the first single thought that you had?
Yeah. And I'm going to say it and you can bleep it out. And I don't usually.
Oh no, say it. Like we swear. Fire away.
Holy shit, I fucking did it. And then I was like, Oh my God, you can't even imagine. And then all the emotion just ran through. And then a friend of mine, Lewis, gave me a hug and he said, sacrifice. And that's just, oh, and then I thought of my wife initially right then and there. And that's when the tears came out.
Yeah. I mean, that's, for a guy like yourself, who's grinded as a club pro forever, but still had this desire either in the back of your mind or, you know, the front of your mind to play professionally, to finally achieve that goal, Rob, had to be, I mean, it, obviously, from the interview, it was overwhelming.
Yeah, it was the, you know, besides my kids being born, you know, greatest moment, you know, of my life. I've been waiting for and preparing for it. You know, it took me a little longer. It's always taken me a little longer to do things. it's the way it is. I've always had sidetracks, you know, and then you find your right track again, you get on track, and then you just go for it, you know.
I mean, this is like, you have to look back and go, like, at 19, I dropped out of college, got to the PGA program, and somehow now, like, never accomplished the goals that you had, you know, as a professional. And then all of a sudden, here it is. I mean, it just has to be unreal. It has to be, you have to kind of float. I assume it wears off eventually, but you have to kind of, you must have floated for about four months.
I'm still flying on it. It's not left me yet. I mean, this is not fake. I'm out here working my tail off, working my game and enjoying every second. There's so many people out here. There's so many volunteers. There's so many great players. I mean, it's like a kid in a candy store. You get access to just, you know, you get access to playing golf with the greatest players on the planet and how they run tournaments in the PGA Tour. It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know what else to say, man. I mean, geez.
Oh, it's great.
It's amazing. it's craziness. Oh my gosh.
What was the, like the first event or one of the first, what was the coolest thing? I mean, somebody you played with or practice round or someone who knew your story, kind of, what are some cool things that have happened in the seven, whatever you've been at, 7-8 weeks?
Yeah. So I met a guy, Jim Brown, when I was playing the club pro in Bluffton, South Carolina. And he was standing on 13th tee. I had a conversation with him, whatever. We became friends. Okay. He's kind of followed my career. I made it to the PGA that year. He took us out to dinner. It was great. Met his family, just great people. Right. So he shows up at the Chubb and he's got a Rob LeBritz 64. I think it was he's from Chicago. So it was either a Bears, a Cubs, it was some sort of jersey. You know, I mean, things like that, you know, and he's like, I'm going to follow you all year. You know, I'm retired now. We're going to follow you. It's going to be great. Wherever you go, we're going to hang out and we're going to, you know, it's just things like that. It's awesome.
I assume, Rob, I mean, there, I assume that you've been that a ton of club pros who are in the same exact boat at 45 or getting approaching 50. I mean, they have to, I assume you've inspired a ton of people, like, hey, I know, you know, I'm doing a little profile on some of the guys in the PGA Championship. I mean, there's guys like yourself who've won a million times who tried to play professionally and then kind of, you know, settled into a club pro job, but I assume that desire is still there. I assume that you have kind of an inspiration to a lot of these guys that, hey, I know I can do it.
I hope so. Yeah. And if they never need any advice, man, just give me a call. I'm happy to share anything because, you know, game's crazy. Anything you can find to shave a shot or two off, man. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know?
So let's just talk about the year in general. Head of top five, you're like 40th in points or money. What's the goals, Rob? You feel like you comfortable out there? Is that kind of a process to get comfortable out there? Kind of what's your thoughts on the season, this early part of the season so far?
Yeah. My desires are to win senior majors. I want to win. I want to finish in the top 36. I want to win the Charles Schwab Cup. I mean, that's my goals and desires. Right. And you know, how I'm doing that is I'm going out there every Monday. I get to the courses on Monday, excuse me. I've got to learn the greens. These courses, the hardest part for me is, you know, these guys have played these courses for years. Okay. And I'm seeing them for the first time. I've never played any of these, I played Saucon Valley once, and I'm not even in the Open yet. I'm going to qualify in a couple of days. So, you know, I've got to learn the courses. So I'm out there charting the greens every Monday. One or two shots off the tee, chart the greens. You got pro-ams on Tuesday. Sometimes you don't. So if there's no pro-am, I'll play the golf course again on Tuesday. I either do one or two pro-ams Wednesday or Thursday, and then you tee it up on Friday. So, you know, and I entertain more in the pro-ams rather than do practice rounds, because that's just the natural club pro in me. The guys are having fun, you know, that I'm hanging out with, which is great. And then, you know, I go into the tournaments, and that's sort of been the routine. And you know, obviously before and after my workouts and all that stuff, but those are the days. And then laundry every once in a while, you got to throw in there too. It's
crazy. Has the competition surprised you, Rob? Is it what you thought it would be? Where you fit in and the competition wise, anything that was like either, hey, I know, you know, has any of that been surprising or kind of exactly what you expected?
I knew I had to play good. I looked at past results and stuff like that, and obviously know all the guys, but you know, now playing out here, I mean, you got to go deep, you know, watching the last few weeks, and it doesn't freak me out. I can do 6 under a day. It's just, you know, limiting my mistakes, you know, just learning to feel a little more comfortable on the golf courses. Once you know, for me, it's just like when you have a few more putts drop, I mean, I have plenty of opportunities that I'm not converting. And if, you know, 4 or 5 of those drop or a tournament, it's like, and you can do that. You know, when you have time, you can do that. You just got to learn a little bit more. You got to figure it out. But, you know, that's the difference. That the guys, great players. Give me a break. I mean, they're the best in the world, over 50, period. You know, they're incredible.
Do you have to find I've learned, you know, I've talked to a lot of pros like that make it to the Korn Ferry Tour for the first time or get an exemption into a tour event, and they feel like they always have to be on the range, always have to grind in. You have to still find that balance, right, Rob? Like, especially because, like you just said, I don't know the courses, but you can like wear yourself out by the time you tee it up Friday if you're just like grinding. I assume it's still kind of finding that balance of, you know, being fresh on Friday.
Yeah, I would definitely would have to agree with that. I found after this 4 week stint, we just did a 4 week stint. I mean, I played pretty good yesterday. I made one bad swing, hit a ball out of bounds. But other than that, I mean, I had one double and I think I made four birdies and shot 70. I mean, I feel pretty good, but yeah, my love tank, I need to see my wife and my daughters and my son. I mean, this is what I'm not used to. So my love tank might be running a little bit low, you know, but my golf tank is definitely riding high. But you're right, it's finding that balance. And I like to get back and see some of my instructors, make sure I'm doing the right things, kind of get back on track. But I was really, really super happy with the way I struck the ball in the final round of the Regions.
I assume you'll be locked in watching the PGA and watching a lot of guys that, like myself, I'm not watching the top of the leaderboard as much as like the cut line for the club pro that birdies the last to get in or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be doing the U.S. Open Senior Open qualifying, and then I'm going to go, you know, spend a little bit of time with my family while I'm there. But then I'm still going to be working on my game and getting ready for the Senior PGA. I mean, that starts next week, so you know, it's not really time off. I'm psyched. I get to see my family. They're probably going to come out and practice with me and stuff. That's what I'm looking forward to most. And then, you know, going back to the club and seeing the members and the owners. But yeah, I need a little breathing time. I've been cranking, and I'm a worker bee, dude. I like to work at it. I love hip chip and putt and hip bunker shots and putt and chip and hip bunker shots and hip balls.
Awesome. Rob, I mean, the account started telling stories. I mean, this is the story that, you know, these are the kind of stories that make it. And so, I mean, I appreciate your time. It's one of the first names I'd look on the, you know, again, like yourself, I don't look at the big quote unquote big names. I look, you know, for guys like yourself and, you know, Scott Parel is obviously a story that I talk about a lot and those kind of things. So I love it. You're awesome. A huge fan, as you know, and thanks for the time, Rob.
Thanks for having me on, Ryan. Love what you do too, man.
Just want to thank Good Walk Coffee, goodwalkcoffee.com, promo code FIREPIT.